our divine service for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The order of service is divine service setting one on page 151. We are looking for someone who has a truck or a trailer to help remove some things from the vicarage and bring it to the dump. The church will be happy to reimburse you for the dumping fee. We have the elder with the announcement.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July, and know that because of the 4th, church offices will be closed tomorrow on Monday in celebration. Also know that it's about that time of the year where the vicar is going to move on and we'll be accepting a new vicar. So on Tuesday, July 13th at 6:30, we will be cleaning out the vicarage. We need as many people as possible to come help with that. Also, you will see that the ice cream social to welcome our next vicar, Mark Gashler, will be July 18th. So bring your favorite ice cream, and you'll hear more about that in the upcoming weeks. Other than that, know that there are several ways to help the church. If you have time and the ability to do so, we're looking for a substitute secretary and janitor for a week in September. So you might look at those dates and see if you have availability. Also, some people to help with altar care, helping prepare communion and take care of those items that are necessary. We also need several volunteers to help with the nursery as well. So if you have that ability, please sign up to do so. Also, you will see that our Lutheran witness subscription is up on July 12th. And so you'll see the insert. Please fill that in and place it in the basket in the narthex with your payment. Remember that July 12th is the date in which we need all that information. And last but not least, Vacation Bible School is coming up soon. You have a nice insert for that. It is July 25th through the 29th.
We stand for the processional cross as we sing hymn 664. Please stand.
We
mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God, and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We trant the entrance on our inserts for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 2. He said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I sent you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that the prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord. We chant Psalm 123 in the front of our hymnals, responsively by whole verse. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Stand and sing the Alleluia and verse.
to St. Mark, the sixth chapter. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "Our prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12, and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals, and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if anyone will not receive you, and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We sing hymn 839. You may be seated. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When people first meet you, what kinds of questions do they ask you? They probably ask, where are you from? Who are you related to? And what do you do for a living? Because the answer to those questions can tell you a lot about the person. In today's text, Jesus is asked a similar set of questions. He has gone to the synagogue and he preaches to the crowd. And the crowd has heard his sermon and has heard about his mighty works. And they want to know where he has received this wisdom, because they believe that they were familiar with his family and where he came from. But Jesus was preaching something far greater than they would expect a man from Nazareth who is a carpenter to be saved. According to Luke's account, Jesus was reading from the scroll of Isaiah, in Isaiah 61. Luke's account has Jesus saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then the text goes on to say that Jesus said, "He began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus taught them that he was the Messiah, that he would come to restore his people, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and that these words from the prophet of Isaiah had been fulfilled in him. He was telling them that if they would believe in him, they would be restored and brought into the family of Christ. Because the family of Christ is first and foremost the one that he establishes by faith and through his death and resurrection. And so we will see what it means to be part of the family of God. First, we will see how the crowd marveled at Jesus' works and words. And then we will see how unbelief is a snare that keeps people out of the family of God. And finally, we will reflect on how Christ establishes his family by faith. The crowd marveled at Jesus' words and works. Jesus began to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. And when the people were gathered there, they heard Jesus' words, and they were astonished. Jesus was reading from Isaiah and declared that the day of the Lord had begun in him. And that's why the crowds were marveled. They heard the sermon, they heard about the miraculous works, and they understood this to be a miraculously and shockingly bold claim. And we read earlier in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus had astonished the crowds because he taught as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. We understand that this wasn't primarily a statement about Jesus being an especially charismatic speaker. The focus of that statement is on the claims that Jesus was making. When Jesus read the text of Scripture and preached on them, he was saying that he is the one who has the authority to interpret the text. And that when he interprets the text, and when the texts are interpreted rightly, the texts are about him. And that is why the crowds were amazed by his teaching. Because Jesus is saying that what he had just read was about himself. And that is why they say, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They heard what Jesus was saying and they had a hard time believing it, because they thought they knew the answer to those questions. To the best of their knowledge, Jesus came from a perfectly normal family in Nazareth. And his father, to the best of their knowledge, was a carpenter, which naturally in those days would have meant that Jesus was a carpenter from Nazareth. Jesus was someone that they thought they all knew. They all thought that they knew him, whether it was personally or by reputation. And so it was really hard for them to believe that he was anything more than a carpenter. Jesus,
was just as Isaiah said he would be. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He looked and seemed perfectly normal by outward appearances. Thus, when Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and that God was his Father, they scoffed at him. Obviously, they thought, "We know that Mary is your mother, and Joseph is your father." But they were mistaken. Joseph was not Jesus' biological father. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary. And even though the crowd had heard about Jesus' baptism, they still did not believe. It didn't seem to matter to them that the Holy Spirit had descended on Christ as a dove, and that God the Father spoke from the clouds at Jesus' baptism and said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The crowds continued to be caught in their unbelief. Because unbelief is a snare that keeps people out of the family of God. The text tells us that they were trapped, scandalized, and offended by Jesus. To come in contact with Jesus, to recognize his word and his power is fatal for all those who react to this contact in unbelief. When Jesus preached to the crowds, he is inviting them to have faith, to be restored, and to enter the family of God by becoming members of the covenant in Christ. But the crowds were scandalized and offended. They heard Jesus' words and saw his mighty works and remained in their unbelief. And this is why Jesus says, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his people, and in his own household." The more familiar people were with Jesus or any prophet, the less likely they were to receive their message. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. Whether the prophet was Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Malachi, or any of the other Old Testament prophets, those who knew the prophets refused to believe their message. And many of the prophets were persecuted. We see that in their Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel, where the Lord says, "And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." Ezekiel and Jesus' own people rejected them. And that is why Mark says that Jesus could do no mighty works there. Mark isn't saying that Jesus needed to have his spiritual battery recharged before he could work miracles. Mark is saying that because people didn't believe in him, they were not coming to be healed. The crowds at Nazareth largely rejected Jesus' message. And so Mark is establishing a contrast. He is setting up a contrast between the section just before this one, where the woman who had an issue of blood comes to Jesus to be healed, and Jairus comes to Jesus so that Jesus would heal his daughter. These two people responded in faith, and the Lord heard their prayer. But the crowds at Nazareth do not believe Jesus. And so they do not believe and they do not receive his blessings. They didn't believe him either because they thought he worked his miracles through the power of the devil, or because they thought he was crazy. But in either case, our text today demonstrates that those who do not believe in Jesus will not receive his blessings. Now it is true that the Lord is the one who grants the gift of faith. But it is also true that people can reject him. And that's what we see in today's text. There's another thing that Mark is honing in on when he quotes Jesus as a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown. Jesus' message will go throughout Israel. He will preach in various villages in the land, and he will send out his disciples to proclaim the message. But by and large, people will reject him and his message. It won't be until his message goes out to the Gentiles that you find large groups of people coming to faith. The prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown. And so all those who reject Christ remain trapped in their sin and under the power of Satan's lies. As Jesus says in the Gospel of John, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And this is why Jesus talks about the day of the Lord being fulfilled in Him. He came and healed all who came to Him for healing. He gave sight to the blind so that they could see Him. He gave hearing to the deaf so they could hear the message and believe. And Jesus came, as He says about Himself, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, so that whenever someone does believe in Jesus, they are made members of the true family of God. And what is it that Jesus is setting them free from? Jesus came to set the captives free from the power of sin and death. And how does Jesus do this? He sets the captives free by the cross when He takes their sin and shame and nails it to the cross. On the cross, He overthrows Satan's kingdom and rises from the dead to show that we are no longer slaves to Satan or death. As we read in the book of Hebrews, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Jesus sets us free so that we do not need to be afraid anymore. And His words are empowered by the reality of His death and resurrection. The crowds did not know or believe this. And we find a parallel text in Matthew chapter 12. The crowds hear Jesus speak, and they think He is insane. And so they call His family to come and get Him. And they tell Him that His family is there waiting to receive Him. And so when Jesus heard this, He looked out at the crowds and then at His disciples. And stretching out His hand toward His disciples, He says, "Here are My mother and My brothers. For whoever does the will of My Father in heaven is My brother and sister and mother." What is the will of God? The will of God is that we believe in Christ. That when we believe and are baptized, we are made children of God and brothers and sisters of Christ. So that even if the world forsakes us and our family rejects us or questions us because of our faith, we know that we have Christ as our brother, our fellow Christians as our siblings, and God as our Father. So we do not need to fear sin or death because we have a new family and life in Christ. And we know that Christ establishes His own family by faith. Jesus establishes His new and freed family by faith. That faith comes through the preaching of the Word. And that is why our text tells us that Jesus called His disciples. And He gave them His authority and sent them out two by two, so that they could cast out demons and proclaim the gospel throughout all the villages of Israel. He gave them authority over unclean spirits, so that they could liberate the captive through the authority and word of Christ. We know that the message that the disciples preached was the very same message that Jesus Himself preached in today's text and elsewhere. They went out into the villages and proclaimed that people should repent. They taught people that they should turn from their sin and unbelief and turn in faith to the Lord Jesus. And they were proclaiming exactly what Jesus was teaching. They had seen Jesus go throughout the villages in Israel. And they heard Him say, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The disciples went and proclaimed this message to set at liberty those who are captive. A part of our interest that we don't sing today proclaims this message so clearly. The Lord says, "I will clothe His enemies with shame, but His head will be adorned with a radiant crown." Jesus' enemies have been clothed with shame. The once shameful crown of thorns that Jesus wore has been turned into a radiant crown because it is the crown of salvation, the crown that our Lord shares with us. As God promises in our psalm, her priests I will clothe with joy, with salvation, and their saints will shout for joy. Our crucified and risen Lord shares his glory with us when we are baptized into Christ. We come up out of those waters, clothed with salvation and shouting for joy. And our Lord continues to call and send faithful pastors to proclaim the very same message that he and his apostles proclaimed, to set at liberty those who are captive. And our faithful pastors do this whenever they preach the gospel and whenever they announce the words of absolution, whether it is publicly or privately. When we hear the words, it's the called and ordained servant of Christ. By his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we hear these words, we are participating in the year of the Lord's favor, and we are being set free from our captivity. And having been set free from the power of sin and death, our Lord invites us to feast with him at his table, where we receive his body and blood, with and under the bread and wine. And we can taste and see the Lord is good as we take refuge in him. Because Christ went throughout all the villages around Nazareth, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, Jesus came to seek and save his people from the power of sin and death, and invite them into the life that is found in him and his family that he establishes through faith and by his death on the cross. And then he sent out his apostles to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ and invite people into this new life. In the same way, our Lord continues to call and send faithful ministers to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So let us praise Jesus, the one who sets us free and invites us into the family of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds from faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand and confess the Apostles' Creed on page 159.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your Son endured rejection in this world. You lead us likewise through a hostile world that shows no honor to your church or its wisdom. Do not let us lose heart. Steel us for opposition, and let us rest confidently on what you, Lord, have said. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, your great and mighty work is to create faith by your Holy Spirit in the eternal blessings of your Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we implore you to make your preachers effective to proclaim your prophetic word, and remove all stubborn ears from our midst. Encourage and sustain all missionaries who proclaim your gospel here and throughout the world, especially Deaconess Carol Lee Halter, as she works as a missionary in Hong Kong. Do not leave us without your word, but make your home among us and restore the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, soften the hearts in every home. Turn parents and children toward each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence, stubbornness, and rebellion from all. Sanctify us in your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful and loving Lord, grant your peace to all who grieve the loss of a loved one. We pray especially for Diane Fisher at the death of her mother. Comfort all who mourn the sure hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all who celebrate their birthdays and baptisms this week. Donna Busher, Stephanie Birds, Gabriel Dykus, Steve Lemke, Addison Clad, Dorothy Maltz, Kaylee Clad, and Caleb Stecker. Keep them in your loving care and sustain them all the days of their lives in your abundant love and mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have established the holy estate of marriage as a reflection of your Son's love for the Church. Be with all who celebrate their anniversaries this week. Christopher and Allison Shuttle, and Alan and Karen Brody, enable them to rejoice on the day of their anniversary and to love and honor each other all the days of their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, protect and defend our nation from its enemies. Support our leaders and preserve them from temptation. Bless and strengthen all who serve in our nation's military, especially Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Ricardo Batonga, Kevin Stevenson, Denny Green, and Courtney Tate. Through the work of our military and all civil authorities, enable us to live a quiet and peaceable life according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, in our weakness, we are strong for the sake of Christ, whose grace is sufficient for every need. Give comfort to those whose pain is chronic, whose sustained suffering is unknown, who wrestle with difficult thorns in body or mind, or who are tempted to despair. Hear our prayers for Jay Gallagher, Michael Eisenbron, Candy Darmody, Don Riley, Jill Tarver, John Jarby, and Wayne Brzowski. In weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, let us boast in Christ and his cross, by which we and our sufferings are sanctified. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you call your people into your family through the faithful preaching of your word. Strengthen our church's many ministries, including the Early Learning Center, ESL, and LCMSU, that they would be places where people would learn about Jesus and all that he has done for us and for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We gather our offerings, and while we're gathering our offerings, please fill out the ritual of friendship and pass them to the person in the pew next to you. You may be seated for the offering and the voluntary. We stand and sing the offertory. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.